All right, we're going to talk about the three wise women. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and open your Bible up to Luke chapter 1. We're going to be talking about three wise women. And the funny thing about it is we always hear about the wise men, right? Everybody always hears about the wise men at Christmas time. And we never hear anything about the wise women who are in the scripture who we know more about than the wise men. We don't really know where they're from. We just know that it's from the east, okay? We really don't know what they were. You know, you've seen them portrayed as kings. You've seen them portrayed as wise men, whatever that looks like. But we really don't know. We know they were wise because they knew from the stars that there had been a special birth, and we just don't know a whole lot about them. Most of what we know is church superstition, some of it. But the truth is, we know a whole lot about the three wise men, women of Christmas from the scripture. Let me just say this. There have been wise women in every church that I've been a part of that have kept the church from going south. I hate to admit it, the wise men sometimes aren't as wise as the wise women. Nobody wants to say it, but it's the truth. When I was a youth director, there was a lady named Rose Feet. Rose Feet took me in while I was youth director and raised me along with the youth group. And I would be planning out things to do for the youth group. And I'd say, Rose, what do you think? And she would sometimes say, Bill, that's a real good idea. And sometimes she says, you don't need to do that. And I always chose to do what Rose Feet said. And I'm glad I did. Even around here, when we try to figure out what to do at Christmas and school got called off, we had a bunch of wise men. And then I asked a bunch of wise women whether we should meet on Wednesday night because school had got out. And they said no. And guess what we did? We didn't meet. The guys, just be honest, men, sometimes we're not very smart. Isn't that the truth? We're just not very smart. And so anyway, some people have said it like this way. If it would have been the wise women in the Christmas story instead of the wise men, they would have asked for directions and got there about 2 years earlier. There are some who believe it had been wise women instead of wise men is that maybe they would have arrived on time. Maybe if it would have been wise women instead of wise men, maybe they would have helped deliver the baby instead of standing around watching. Maybe if it had been wise women that got there, they would have helped clean up the barn for the arrival of the king. And then my favorite one is maybe if it had been wise women, they would have brought practical gifts to give to a baby. Now, who gives a baby frankincense, you know? Or myrrh. Now there's a reason for that we'll learn later on. But this story, and if you have your Bibles, open them up to Luke chapter 1 verse 5. This story is fascinating. And really, I don't know how I'm going to do it in the amount of time that I have, but I'm going to do my best. And you need to know this about these three ladies, these three wise men. First of all, they were all godly. You'll see that as we look at the passage. They were all godly. The second thing you will see about them is that they all had difficult circumstances in their lives. Also, these three ladies submitted to God's will, whether it was easy or difficult. And all three of these ladies were blessed because of their obedience. I don't know how much you know about Elizabeth, but in Luke chapter 1 verse 5, you find out about Elizabeth. And it's kind of funny. We're told in verse 5, it says, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth, get that name, she's the first lady of Christmas. Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Now, circle this because this is important to see about both Elizabeth and Zacharias. It says, Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. What does that mean? It means they did what you're supposed to do. They were righteous. And then it says they were careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They were spiritual people. Wise people, whether male or female, are spiritual people. If you're a teenager, you might be smart, but you may not be wise. We need to understand Elizabeth was righteous, but she had a problem. It says in verse 7, they had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive and they were both very old. You got to understand, in that day, to not be able to have kids, you were considered by everybody else to have a curse. Because, see, they believed, some of them in the Jewish lines did not believe that there was an afterlife, and the way that you lived on was through your children. So not to have children meant you didn't live on. It also meant there was no one to take care of you. And they all would look at you and say, you must have done something wrong. You do not have kids. And yet the scripture tells us that Elizabeth was a righteous woman, serving God. And here's something I want you to pick up on. Just because you're a godly person does not mean you're not going to have difficulties. You need to understand, we are not promised heaven on earth. Your bodies aren't going to work right. The economy's not going to work right. You've got to understand that when we live in this world, we're subject to difficult things just like everybody else. Look at verse 8. One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. They think at that time there were about 20,000 priests in Jerusalem. And you divided up into different groups, and you drew lots when it was your group's time. And if you were one of the lucky ones, you got to do something in the temple. You see, you and I couldn't walk into the temple like ever. It wasn't open to everybody. Only the priests could go in. And it so happens that Zechariah, he pulled the lucky ticket. He was going to get to go in and light the incense. And when the people would see the incense come out of the temple, they were supposed to start praying. And guess what? They were to be praying for the Messiah to come. Isn't that kind of interesting? You got to remember that. When they would see the smoke come out, the incense, they were supposed to be reminded to pray, because smoke was symbolic of prayer. And so Zechariah goes in to light the incense. And it says, while the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was, and I get this, was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. If you were going into the temple and you were lighting the incense, and an angel was standing there, you would be shaking as well. And so we see that Zechariah was definitely disturbed. And it says, but the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. And I love this. God has heard your prayer. God has heard your prayer. For years, Zechariah and Elizabeth had been begging and praying, asking God to give them a child. And yet it never came true. And yet the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." And then he says, "Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord." Jesus said about John the Baptist, he's the greatest to ever live. And so Zechariah is told that he's going to be a dad, and he's like, "Uh-oh, there's just a problem with that. I'm too old. And my wife's too old." And yet God came and said, "I've heard your prayer." He says he must never touch wine or alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn away many, he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept wisdom, the wisdom of the godly. So we are told that this boy named John was going to be special. He was going to be the announcer. His role was to prepare Israel, which had become very corrupt, very wealthy, very wicked. He is going to come and turn Israel back to God. He was the announcer. How many of you have ever been in a room when the president walked in? Anybody been in there? I was at some Baptist convention or one of the conventions, and it's kind of an eerie thing. You're sitting out there, you know the president's going to be coming in, and someone walks in and introduces the president of the United States, and I mean, it is quiet. John the Baptist, that was kind of his role. He was going to announce to the corrupt church people. He was going to announce to the corrupt priest that the Messiah was coming. They needed to get their lives right because the Messiah was coming. And the beautiful thing is he gave a prediction. He says that this Messiah will turn the hearts of the father to their children. He's going to bring the family back together if they will allow him to. Zechariah in verse 18 said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen?" Not exactly a statement of faith. How can I be sure? And then he gives the excuse, "I'm an old man now." And notice how he said it about his wife. He didn't go, "She's an old woman." He says, "My wife is also well along in years." A little bit easier. He said, "You know, hey, listen. How's this going to happen, angel?" Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Now here's an interesting thing if you think about it. God had all this under control. Here Elizabeth and Zechariah are thinking, "Where's God in all my life? Timing's not right. We should already have a baby." But the thing I love about Elizabeth is that they trusted God. Never once in that passage do you see that Elizabeth is bitter or angry. She's just righteous. She just does the right thing. I know in our own family, my daughter struggled with infertility a little bit, and it was devastating to our family. Devastating. We just wanted her to have a baby. And if you've ever known someone who's gone through it, it's incredibly difficult. And the thing that I love about this passage is you can think that Elizabeth is late, but she's on time because God had a plan. That's the truth I want you to get. Wise people choose to trust God's timing and purpose for their lives. Now, you may think you ought to be a millionaire by now. You may think you ought to have 20 kids by now. You may think you need to have the best job in the world by now. And you can't understand what's going on. But listen, wise people choose to trust God's timing. I can't explain to you why some people don't have kids. I can't explain to you any of that. But here's what I do know. Regardless of what's going on, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And your goal is to find out what it is for you to do. Elizabeth was this incredible woman who trusted God, never got bitter, and then at the right time, she got pregnant. Look down in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to a village in Galilee to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the God Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And then Mary asked, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative, Elizabeth, has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of the Lord will never fail." Now notice Mary's response to this good news, which would be hard to take. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said come true." And the angel left her. Now, you got Elizabeth, the first lady of Christmas. She's a righteous woman. She can't have kids. She ends up having John the Baptist. It's a miracle. God does the impossible. And then God goes to Mary, the second woman of Christmas, the wise woman, and he tells her she's going to be pregnant. I mean, just imagine that. She was engaged. And she was going to go and have to talk to her mom and dad and say, "Hey, guess what, Mom? I'm pregnant. And guess what? God's the Father." Just imagine the conversation Mary had with Joseph. "Hey, Joseph, I'm pregnant." Because you see, in that day, he could literally have her executed for her betrayal. I mean, if I was Mary, I would be terrified, scared to death of the supernatural. Have you ever thought what it would be like to have a supernatural pregnancy? I mean, you ladies have all had like a natural pregnancy. What about a supernatural one? What's it like to carry God's son in your stomach? That's got to be weird. Do y'all ever think about stuff like that? What would it be like to be the mother of God? What would it be like to have to punish your son who's God in the flesh? But the thing I love about Mary is that through it all, she said, okay, whatever happens, I just want to do God's will. Now think about her. She was engaged. What do engaged girls think about? Their wedding. Oh my goodness. When my daughter got engaged, guys, not so much. But when Kristen got engaged, all she could think about was the wedding. How she wanted the tables decorated. I mean, everything was important to her, and so she planned it all. She got those expensive catalogs or those magazines, and she would call up and find out how much it was going to cost to have a wedding here and there. And I mean, all she could think about was the wedding. But what if Mary was like that, and all of a sudden she's going to have a baby? That kind of ruins the plans, doesn't it, a little bit? The thing I love about Mary is that even though this was not necessarily good news for her, because she had to, what were the people going to say about her? Are they going to be talking about, you know, hey, Mary, you know, Joseph chose to marry her. She was pregnant. I mean, you know, can you imagine the gossip going around? But here's the thing I love about Mary. She chose to trust God's word over her fears. The angel came and spoke for God. She simply believed him. How many times in your life has fear been the one that motivated you to do things instead of God? We do a lot of stupid things when we get fearful. We are not wise when we act out of fear instead of God's word. What I love about Mary, as difficult as it would have been to give up her dreams of a wedding and a normal life, and listen, her life would not be normal. She chose to believe God. She said, whatever you want, I'm good with it. She's wise. Listen, wise people choose to trust God's word over their fears. Listen, I've seen people, and I've been a part of it myself, do the stupidest things out of fear. My dad used to say, Bill, you're worried about what might never happen. How many people live their lives of... Let me tell you what. If you have kids... which I have four, and now I have two grandkids, you will have to learn to trust God and not live by fear. I mean, you can be fearful for... You know, Julie and I were talking the other day. We love having Liam around, and she was just kind of saying, you know, we're a little concerned about the world he's going to grow up in. I mean, aren't you a little concerned about the world your kids are going to grow up in? What's going to be like in 30 years? See, you start listening to fear. Or you start listening to God's word, and God's word tells you what you concentrate on, what you focus on. It says, train your child in the way he or she might go. Not worry about the way, train them. And that means get involved. Point them in the direction they're supposed to go. Too many times in our world today, we're living and making decisions based upon fear. Listen. Be careful about listening to fear. You know, I used to think, I'm going to move to the perfect church. You know, it gets a little rough. Every church I've ever been to gets a little rough. You know why it gets a little rough? Because people belong to it. You think, well, I'm going to move to a better church. You know what I've discovered about every better church? They're made up of the same people that were in the church that I thought was not perfect. Because there's no such thing as a perfect church. We don't live in a perfect world. So don't live in fear. You can't. Trust God's word and be like Mary. And then we get to the third woman, the one we never hear about. And this woman had a rough life. Look at Anna in verse 36 of chapter 2. And I'm going to test. I'm going to ask you who the three ladies of Christmas are. But in verse 36, 36, it says this. Back up to 35. No, 36. True confession is that, you know, I normally have an iPad up here. My iPad went dead yesterday. I don't know how to use the Bible anymore. Isn't that terrible? I've learned how to scroll and do, and so like the reason the verse wasn't matching is because I was in the wrong chapter. Okay, chapter 2, verse 36. It says this about this lady. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. This is the third lady of Christmas. She was the daughter of Phanuel and from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God and with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon, and you back up in the chapter, and Simeon was a man who just happened to be in the temple and sees the baby Jesus, or the young man, actually the 8-day-old baby Jesus, and he goes nuts. And it says, she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew healthy and strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. So here's the picture. It's the eighth day. On the eighth day, here's what happens. They take the baby to circumcise him. And at the circumcision ceremony, they gave him his name. So here we have Jesus going to be circumcised. And there is this man named Simeon. He's an old man. He's just going crazy because he had seen the Messiah, this little baby named Jesus. And I'm sure people were thinking he's a little strange, but all of a sudden, Anna sees him. And she starts praising God. You see, these two were both very, very old, and yet they were still looking for the Messiah. You see, everyone during that time was looking for the Messiah. Why? He was going to solve all their problems. But the thing that gets me about Anna, she had only been married 7 years when her husband died. She never remarried. She stayed in the temple. She fasted and prayed. She was a godly woman without a husband. And if she didn't have a husband, that meant she didn't have children. If she didn't have a husband and children, that meant she didn't have a retirement. That meant she had probably no means of financial support. But the thing I love about Anna is we are told in the scripture that after she discovered the Christ child, she couldn't keep from telling other people about him, about the rescuer. You see, wise people are people that tell other people about Jesus. And Anna was that kind of a person. She was the person who was out there telling people, you're looking for the Messiah, he's been born. You see, wise people tell others about the good news of Jesus. That's the problem with Christmas for me many times. We sing the pretty songs, we have the decorations, but a lot of times we don't tell people about the good news. And the good news is what Christmas is all about. You see, these three ladies were so incredibly wise. You have Elizabeth, who chose to trust God's timing and purpose for her life. What about you? Do you think God's made a mistake in your life? Are you trusting your own instincts. You know, wise people trust God's timing. They trust God's purpose. Are you like Mary? Are you choosing to trust God's word over fear? Or are you eaten up by fear? Listen, you can worry yourself to death. Don't watch the news anymore. It's going to tell y'all, you know, everything's melting. The earth's getting warmer. I mean, we might as well just give up, right? Isn't that what basically you take the news and just sum it up? Or are you going to trust God's word that says to go out and make a difference? Are you going to be like Anna, who chooses to tell people about the real meaning of Christmas? Here's my big fear about Christmas, then I'm done. What's going to happen on the December 26th? We all start putting it back in the box. We take our trees down. Of course, we're projected to get our tree down, I think Julie told me, in February, March. Okay, you know, a lot of people have it down the next day. We take all these cute little nativity scenes, we put them up, right? You already got a plan, right? And then it's wait to next year. And didn't the children do a musical about that last weekend? There's more to it than that. Let me tell you what. If you didn't get a single gift from Santa Claus or anybody this year, your life's good. You got life. Man, we're the most ungrateful bunch of people I've ever seen. We don't mean to be. We've just gotten used to having everything. But let me tell you what. Jesus came to give us life. To give us real life. And we either trust Him or we don't. I know Charlie did a thing about people today trust in what the doctors say or what the government says or what a mask is going to do for them. And it's so funny to me, they'll believe some of that stuff, but when we talk about Jesus coming and living and dying and being resurrected from the dead for them, they can't believe that. And yet it's the most important thing you can believe, that He lived and He died and He was resurrected. I hope you'll be wise like Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna. I hope that you will make the right choices. Let's pray. Father, be with us as we go our different ways. And help us this Christmas to try to be wise and to enjoy every moment we have. And I thank you for Elizabeth, and I thank you for Mary, and I thank you for Anna and their examples of being wise. And help us to be like that. And I just thank you for the gift of Christmas, which is your Son. And just help us to share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I've got several announcements, and then I'll be done.